Welcome to the Agile Revolution. This is Craig at Agile 2012 in Dallas and Texas. Final day, day five, and wrapping up what has been pretty awesome conference, I must say. Spoke to some really good people, seen some really good sessions. Today was all about the keynotes. So before that, we just got a little bit of a wrap from about the conference. Apparently, as part of the submissions, there were 800 submissions. They had to whittle that down to 200 presentations. And interestingly, there's a whole bunch of volunteers who volunteer their time to make sure that materials are in the right sessions, all the feedback forms are collected. And apparently those guys have two daily scrums and self-organise the sessions that they want to attend. So essentially, drinking your own champagne at the Agile conference. So two keynotes today. The first one led by Dr. Sunita Mashawi. Her talk was on Adventures of an Accidental Entrepreneur, a high-tech teleradiology venture from India. Interesting little talk. So what she was really doing was going through the fact that she had stumbled across international teleradiology. Now, what had happened was that she had studied at Yale, had gone back to India, and her and her husband were looking for work. So they got called up by Yale to do a small little test about trying to do radiology from India to cover the night shift. Now, what happened is after 6 months, Yale considered it a bit too radical. But they thought it was a pretty good idea, so they decided to take a bit of a risk and set up their own business. They focused on quality. They set the business up, built big building and all the rest of it, and apparently they were the first Indian company to get the gold seal. They were tempted very early on in the venture for $1 million profit. Now, she said that money was a very big attraction and they could have gone that way, but her quote was that it could have been a one-way street to obscurity. A couple other quotes she had. She said that you got to believe in yourself, that if you can see the future and have a dream, you've got to push along with it, and that the one closest to the future has the best view. Now, being in India, they really struggled with a bunch of stuff. They struggled with bandwidth, electricity. They had no senior management to lean on. They just had to really stick it out. And the other problem they had was there's a lot of anti-outsourcing sentiment, particularly from the media in the USA, people like ABC News, for example. But what they realized pretty quickly, that people only remember you that you were in the newspaper, not what for. So it actually was a good thing, even though there was a whole bunch of sentiment that went along with it at the time. And they said they had a bit of bad PR advice at the time, but they worked through that. Now, they'd got the thing happening with the US. So essentially what was happening is that they were covering US radiology at night. So when hospitals in the United States didn't have a radiologist on board, they can do it remotely and they could do it a lot quicker. What happened was Singapore came along and said, well, we've actually got a shortage of radiologists, but our problem is that it takes 3 days to read them. So they did use the same technology, but they reduced the turnaround from 3 days to 1 hour. And their point was that quality wins even when competition enters. Now, what they've noticed now is there's a great need in Africa. So again, using the same domain knowledge for social good. They use one reading center in India, and that covers all the hospitals, all the ones in the US, all the ones in Singapore. So they've got this big efficiency of scale. And they cover the US night in an Indian day, and now they actually have a team in Israel, so they have full follow the sun coverage. One of the things that was, I guess, a sentiment was that there might have been job displacement. What actually happened was that they freed doctors up to cover more patients locally, so it actually was a good thing, not a bad thing that people were sort of thinking. Now, they didn't realize it, but they also were doing a whole bunch of agile type stuff. For example, they were having monthly meetings and they really weren't effective, so they implemented a 7-minute daily huddle every day. One of the big things they had in India, though, was they had to break the culture of not reporting bad news. When they got through that and got people to say, look, it's okay to get the bad news, you want to get it fixed, the hospitals liked the responsiveness and again their quality went up. They hired some HR consultants. They told them they're doing everything wrong, but they ignored the advice anyway, and they broke a whole bunch of existing cultures. So they've got full-time masseuses. They've got fun days where they may wear masks. They've got this big slide. Essentially, her point was it's not just the paycheck; it's the small things that make people feel wanted. Now, one of the problems they had with the culture was that, regardless of what they did, people didn't want to work on Sunday. They tried to throw double time, triple time people, and they just weren't interested. And that was essentially why they looked for an innovative solutions. And Israel was the place that they looked, because people were actually happy to work on a Sunday there. So she suggests you've always got to constantly find innovations to stay afloat. And they've done a whole bunch of other stuff. They had their own in-house product. So they built a little product called Bradspar. And what was interesting was their internal software group was getting really, really frustrated because the developers and the doctors weren't cooperating. Basically, they turned around and said, well, you've just got to treat us like an external client. You've got to bid for the work. And she said that essentially they found a word that she didn't think existed anymore, which is co-opetition, which is cooperation in competition. So the internal IT department had to bid like any other vendor for the work. The other thing she said is that, you know, business plans aren't all what they're cracked up to be. They wanted to set up a new clinic. They just didn't have a business plan. They just got a doctor and good quality service. So not everything needs a business plan, but everything needs passion. And her advice is do what you love and the money will follow. Now, they've gone into a whole bunch of other things, radguru.net and e-teaching, so they can teach doctors and students anywhere. Her points were that the world needs pushers to take good ideas and get them implemented. That if you wanted to decide to spend time with your loved ones, you will find a way and make technology your slave, not the other way around. So, yeah. Inspirational talk from her. Now, the second talk, this one was really cool, and this was from Joe Justice from Wikispeed, and it was called Managing a Collaborative Multinational Team in Real Time. Now, coming up soon on the channel, I've actually got an interview with Joe Justice from Wikispeed, and you should really watch out for that one. It's really cool. What he was talking about is with Wikispeed is his message is that to improve our way of working, we need to fundamentally improve our institutions. So the challenge was, how do you develop a car in a garage that gets better mileage than anything that's out in the market and is actually aesthetically pleasing? And that's exactly what they set out to do. So as part of the XPRIZE, they were looking for $10 million for someone who could essentially build a car that would get 100 miles to the gallon. Now, they actually didn't win, they came 10th. But, you know, they had lots of things in their place, and in fact, unlike most of the other manufacturers, they're still going. So Wikispeed is made up of all volunteers. Some are specialised, some actually have mechanical backgrounds, some are just eager to help. As an example, they have a CNC machine at the Wikispeed garage. It costs $2,000. The big auto companies have them that are worth $100 million. That's 1/50th of the cost. So they're better not because of the tools they use, but because of their way of working. Now, these guys build a car, and you've got to see the picture of this car. They iterate every 7 days. So every 7 days, they've got a car that works, right? You know, put together and it works. And their whole drive is to make society a better place. So his message was there's a trend that is disrupting all industries, not just software, all industries, and it's called Agile. And if you actually look at the 10 big IT companies on the stock exchange, they're all Agile or mostly Agile. And that we have to realize that manufacturing right now is like software was 10 years ago. The problem is with vehicles is that the products are based on what the customer wanted 10 years ago. His example was that the new Porsche 911 is actually basically a car that's going to be with us for 14 years. And it is actually itself based on 10-year-old technology in some places. So what he calls the whole thing he does and his team is something called XM, Extreme Manufacturing. Right? So instead of what the customer wanted 10 years ago, they're iterating on what the customer wanted 7 days ago. And they believe that they're the first manufacturing company to have that model. Now, why hasn't manufacturing adopted this in the past? Well, his belief is that manufacturing is slow, and that's because the processes are costly to change. So what they did is they built their car, and it's in 8 interchangeable parts. This car, it's all modular, completely interchangeable. When they built it with TDD, they built tests. So while others were planning the car for the XPRIZE, they were building tests and knew exactly what they needed to build. And they had their initial design on the road in 3 months. So his thought is that Agile might be the biggest change since the Industrial Revolution. In fact, you might want to call it the Agile Revolution. There you go. Good that we've got that podcast name right now, isn't it? Because they're a distributed team, I mean, they've got their main garage in Seattle, but they've actually got shops all over the world. Their newest shop is in New Zealand. No shops in Australia, and we talked about that on the podcast with Joe. All the tools they use from this collaborative team are free. If you think about it, those tools didn't exist 10 years ago. Things like Google Docs and Skype and Google Hangouts and those type of things. His belief is that history has been building up to Agile. Now, there's some other interesting stuff happening around the place. John Deere, the tractor manufacturer, they're looking into open source modular tractors. They internally call the process frugal engineering. So now they're thinking about something called Wikideer. Now, the other thing is something called the Maker Plane. This is an open source aviation project. It's also using the Wikispeed model. Boeing are looking at the approach now, so they've been talking to Boeing, which is really cool. Another one is Tait Radio out of New Zealand. They actually helped Wikispeed build a recorder to record noises to test admissions. So essentially they're doing test-driven manufacturing. Now these guys make audio devices, so when Wikispeed went down, they helped them use Scrum to build their own products. Now they do a whole bunch of iterating. Their text fixtures are made of cardboard. They do stand-ups, they introduce retrospectives, and they have team stewards, and they essentially develop their product in a week. Now, his advice is that how you get around all of this stuff in enterprises is that you've got to send the middle managers back to product work, and you've got to get the analytics and budgeting people back to weekly funding cycles. Basically, you need to get more nimble management, and that's where a lot of the problems are in our organizations. Now, they talked about some of their iterations. They had a safety iteration, for example. Right? Now, it initially took months because if you want to go through a safety test, there's a lot of work, but now it takes days. Now, it costs $10,000 to send a car through a safety test. So what they do is they actually watch those tests, and the more they watch them, the more they record them, they can actually simulate them. So now that they can essentially run it every 7 days internally, but they learn from the real tests. So they run simulations all the time, but then run real tests. So essentially they're mocking stuff out. They took the car to the Detroit Auto Show. They were stuck right in between Chevy and Ford. He said there was the most, he had no idea what the big guys were going to say. And he said basically pretty much all the big bosses walked past, right, shook his hand and said, good job, go get them. And he thinks the reason being is that, some of the big guys really want to do innovative things, but they're hamstrung by their organizations. Team Wikispeed, they're in 18 countries. They revealed their new 2013 Roadster. And actually the Roadster they revealed at the conference was built in two sessions in the conference, so essentially in a day. Only one person at the conference had ever built a car before. Everybody else was basically software developers and agile people, but they used pairing to learn. And the car they built, which was on stage and there's pictures of, is going to the Boeing Museum in Seattle, which is really cool. So on average, Team Wikispeed members spend 2 to 4 hours per week solving social good. And they're looking for product owners to find the next social good. So the whole thing is they want people to join Team Wikispeed. So you can find them on the web at teamwikispeed.com. So really, really moving. And as I said, listen out for the podcast interview we've got with Joe Justice coming up on the network really soon, because it's really good stuff. And that's it. That's the end of the conference. So it's been real busy going to lots of sessions, a whole bunch of really good keynotes, recorded a whole bunch of good interviews that you will be hearing coming up on the channel in the near future. And also I was here with InfoCube and recorded about 6 or 7 really great video interviews as well, so you'll be seeing all of those coming up in the future. But as for now, a couple of days to see a little bit about what's happening around Texas. Been doing a few meetings around some of the IC Agile work that's going on. But until next time, we'll catch you later. People are a revolution.